The 24th Problem by Janiah Riley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. Chapter 4. A Matchbook from Nowhere.
2019. Common Earth Era. East Village, New York City.
It had been about the most fun that John had felt in, he couldn't remember. About the most John Egbert had felt in, he couldn't remember that either. Still, getting to meet up with Jade and Dave and Rose, that had mattered a lot. It made him feel a little more grounded, a little more comfortable in his skin, at least for a little while. There were so many big things in the world to think and worry about that it was nice to just be able to sit down and relax for once. Sitting down and joking around with Dave just like that time in high school when he had been out visiting Seattle and their parents had let them have a sleepover. John's dad had baked a cake, typical dad stuff, and they'd stayed up late playing Xbox and shooting the shit until... Well, there was a time and place for everything, right? And it hadn't been the time or place yet. Something that John was still working on, in any case. Had been working on for a good long while. But it was nice to be able to get back into that groove and goof around. Dave was still down for whatever when it came to pranks. Rose could be just as stupid as her brother, but she didn't know how to take a good prank. And John felt bad pranking Jade. There was something that felt so off about it, like there was something uniquely mean-spirited about it, and he couldn't quite place why, but Dave... Dave was always down to clown, as he liked to put it. They'd been sitting in the restaurant, poking at their food, worrying about Rose. Jade had texted the group as soon as she found Rose, and that was reassuring, but still, John was worried about her. Then Jade and Rose had come back into the diner. Rose looked out of it, and Jade looked terrified, actually. Rose had offered to pay the check, told them to box the food up, and insisted that they go back to her place immediately. The way she said it, there wasn't a whole lot of room for debate. Rose's place was a two-bedroom apartment in Greenwich Village, a place that, even though it was an older building, probably cost her mom a good $6,000 a month, more or less. John had wondered what it was that Rose and Dave's mom actually did to be able to afford this, and Dave's slightly less expensive place in Brooklyn, but he was kind of afraid to ask. It wasn't very important to the current situation, which was Jade standing in the middle of Rose's modestly furnished living room, looking like she was about to have a panic attack. "What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?" She kept saying it, over and over again. Rose was sitting down on the couch, staring up at her, not really saying anything. "Hey, so," Dave added, in between what the fucks, "you mind letting us all know what's going on? Jade, not gonna lie, you're scaring the absolute shit out of me." A lot of the usual goofball humor was gone, replaced with a level of stress that had previously been reserved for when his older brother had been in an especially bad mood. "Seriously, please just tell us what's going on. Rose, can either of you fill us in?" Jade was holding something in between her index finger and thumb, some small object that looked... John adjusted his glasses and squinted. "Is that a matchbook?" he asked, feeling kind of silly about this whole thing, but Dave was right. Jade's reaction was scaring him more than a little bit. "Yes," Rose said quietly from the couch. Dave glanced over at her, then back to Jade.
"So, who fucking cares? What's going on here?"
Dave's voice was wavering, a tremor that John had only heard a couple times before sneaking in over the usual confidence.
"Jade? It just appeared in the middle of the fucking air, Dave? Is that enough of a reason for me to be a little bit on edge?"
John raised a hand, looking like he was back in middle school.
"Well, maybe..."
He could hear the way his own voice faltered, like he didn't believe what he was about to say fully.
"Maybe you just didn't notice it before?"
"John." John startled when he heard Rose say the name. He turned and blinked heavily. "I was there too. I saw it." And that single comment was enough to bring in a pall of silence that fell over all four of them. Jade stood in the center of the room, clutching the matchbook, with the others staring at her. It felt like the moment lasted forever, a moment that would define the rest of their lives. A ridiculous thing to think, but John was having a hard enough time processing what was happening. Finally, Rose spoke up. We might as well take a look at it.
Wait, Dave said. You didn't even look at the damn thing? What the fuck?
Rose stood up from the couch and took a step toward Jade, who pulled back briefly, then stopped.
If she lets us look at it, she has to admit it's real. We all have to admit it's real.
I just want to look, Rose said softly, reaching a hand out to gently rest on the matchbook. I think we should at least examine the paranatural phenomenon we're now faced with.
Of course, that's why she isn't freaking out.
John had forgotten how much Rose had been into all kinds of weird paranormal shit when she was a teenager. He could still remember the seance they'd held to contact her dead cat when they were high school freshmen. He supposed that she was probably still into it. Maybe this whole thing was exciting to her. Jade nodded and pressed the matchbook into Rose's hand.
Okay. Let's take a look at it. Maybe there's some kind of explanation for this? Some kind of...
She glanced down at the ground and frowned.
Maybe it fell from up above? Someone dropped it and we just perceived it as suspended in the air?
She didn't sound sure. More like she was trying to convince herself of what had happened.
Sure, Dave said quickly, nodding. That sounds like it makes a lot more sense than a fucking magic matchbook appearing in front of you.
Rose rolled her eyes at Dave as she sat back down on the couch.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves in the assumptions. Also, a purify isn't a word, Dave.
John wasn't so sure about this. Jade had been pretty freaked out. And he hadn't seen Jade get freaked out that much. This was Miss Science and Reason are the twin pillars holding up the modern world they were talking about. She was still visibly shaking, even if she looked somewhat reassured by Dave's suggestion. She was willing, at least, to sit down on the couch next to Rose.
Whatever, I'm gonna grab my food before it turns into ice cream, Dave said snappily.
He stood up and walked over to the small kitchen that was set to one side of the living room.
What place is it even a matchbook from, anyway? Isn't that shit usually just a glorified ad?
Rose nodded and turned the matchbook over in her hands.
That is actually an excellent question.
She paused and made a soft noise.
Oddly enough, it doesn't seem to have a name on the front, just a drawing of a man in a white suit playing billiards of all things. Maybe...
Another pause, and she opened the matchbook. Standard matches, I suppose, and... Wait, there's something written here. She showed the open matchbook to Jade, who nodded and frowned.
The distinguished gentleman? And there's an address,
Jade muttered, looking down over the top of her glasses.
Does that address mean anything to you?
No. Well, it's an address in Brooklyn, but I don't know every place in the city.
Hold on, let me take a look.
Dave called from where he was standing at the kitchen counter, cramming a mostly cold burger in his mouth.
Fine.
Rose began to read out the address.
Does that ring any bells?
Dave was quiet for a minute. Then he laughed under his breath.
This is funny to you?
Rose asked, her voice filling with an annoyed edge.
I fail to see the humor in the situation.
Oh, man, it's not... It's like, I actually know where this place is, kinda. I mean, I recognize the area. There's a Bed Bath & Beyond over there. I bought a pillow there once.
Seriously?
John couldn't stop himself. This was just a ridiculous cherry on top of a sundae of absurdity.
Yeah, real nice pillow, too. Cost me like $60.
Not the fucking pillow, Dave. What else is there?
Now Rose was sounding almost angry. She leaned closer to Jade.
This isn't one of your fucking jokes.
Dave shook his head. He was looking down at his phone.
I know that. Hold up. There's some computer place and a bunch of other stores. It looks like a fucking prison or some shit, too.
John glanced back and forth between Jade, Rose, and Dave. Finally, he took a deep breath and spoke.
So, are we planning on going there?
Seeing the looks they were all giving him, he grinned nervously and continued.
Yeah, well, it's still early enough in the day. How long does it take to get there?
An hour,
Rose said quickly.
We can take the train down easily enough.
John snapped his fingers.
Right, exactly. We go down there and check this place out. We've got the address and everything, so it's probably a bar or something like that. We go there. We see that it's a real place in our real world, so someone working up on the roof probably dropped the matchbook. We have a couple drinks, and we go back to Rose's place, and we all have a nice laugh about how stupid we're all being.
He could see it in their faces. They wanted to believe this so badly.
I don't know, dude. The map doesn't have a place by that name at this address, Dave said, still looking down at his phone. I'm not even sure this is an actual address.
Of course it's an address. What else would it be?
John laughed, but it felt forced when he did it.
We solve this mystery together and go buy another pillow or something.
It turned out that with a few lucky turns, they were able to make it down to the general area indicated by the matchbook in 45 minutes. Halfway down, the tension of the earlier moments had started to lift. Jade was smiling again, talking about how silly this whole situation was, and it seemed genuine enough. Dave was back to his old joking self, ribbing Rose over how serious she'd been about this earlier. But the whole thing was starting to eat at John. He'd spent the entire train ride down on his phone, searching for answers in the spots of connection he had at each station they passed. Unfortunately, searching up distinguished gentlemen in the area seemed to mostly return information about some kind of motorcycle event, along with a TV series from 2015. There was absolutely no information related to the specific address on the matchbook, aside from Google attempting to correct his searches to businesses in the area. Maybe it's some new place, Dave had suggested, and John desperately wanted to believe this. But there was something in his gut that was crawling around and making itself known. An unease that wouldn't be mollified by something so simple. He had to see the place for himself, to sit in the well-worn bar stools and maybe play a game on the pool table in the illustration. Maybe with the white-suited man himself.
Get a grip, Egbert. You're being weird about this whole thing.
A train ride and a short walk later, the four of them were standing together on the sidewalk near the shopping plaza, staring at the buildings highlighted by the waning daylight. Jade was holding the matchbook again, alternating between looking at it and staring at her phone.
Okay, it should be around here somewhere, I think. If I'm reading the address right, I think.
Jade's voice was sounding less and less scared and more confused as time went on.
I'm sorry. This seemed like a really good idea, but I don't know what this is. Maybe it was just like a weird prank? Some kind of novelty thing like they use for movies and stuff?
I suppose they do shoot a lot of movies in the city, Rose added, shaking her head. I agree that it's strange that... She stopped mid-sentence, as if someone had flipped a switch inside of her.
Rose? John asked. Are you doing all right?
She didn't respond. Instead, she started walking forward, across the parking lot. Her shadow looked all wrong in the light, and the sense of unease that John had been feeling was only getting worse.
Hey, what the fuck, sis?
Dave sounded like he was about to lose his shit, too.
This isn't fucking funny!
She walked down the sidewalk, past the entrance to the main shopping building, completely ignoring the stares of a handful of passers-by and the shouts of her friends alike. The other three walked up to match pace with her, but it was like she was sleepwalking. She looked ahead without turning her head to acknowledge any of what was happening around her.
Rose, you're scaring me!
Jade put a hand on her shoulder, but Rose didn't even seem to notice. She was already near the end of the block. Rose stopped walking and turned to face a single door set in the side of the building. John could see some kind of logo on the door, a block printed SN with some kind of symbols nestled in the curves of the S. It didn't look familiar, but then again, neither did a mysterious matchbook that appeared from the void. Rose reached out for the handle, and for the briefest of moments, John was sure that would be the end of it. The door would be locked, and they would realize that this was the location on the matchbook, and that would be the end of it. They would all go back to Rose's place and have a good laugh about how silly everything was. The door opened. Rose stepped through the door. Following closely after her, John grabbed the door. He was sure that if he let it close behind Rose, he wouldn't be able to open it again and she'd be on her own. Jade and Dave came right behind him, the three of them trailing a half step behind Rose as she shuffled forward, acting like she knew exactly where she was going. The area behind the door was one of the most painfully mundane things John had ever seen. It reminded him of the office he was working in these days, but even more boring. A simple corridor that led back then opened up into a broad, windowless office space. The space was filled with half-height cubicle dividers that sectioned desks off from each other. The desks were bare. Not a single computer, chair, printer, or employee in sight.
Okay, Rose, this is hilarious and all, but can we please get out of this backrooms-ass-looking place already?
Dave's voice betrayed his nervousness.
Seriously, this shit stopped being funny 1 or 2 mysterious happenings ago.
Still, Rose didn't respond. She kept walking forward, straight down the center of the cubicles. Jade's voice cut into the stillness of the strangely empty office space.
Rose, can you hear me?
No response. Rose took a few more steps, then stopped. She turned around and looked at the three of them. Her eyes were blank.
What the fuck?
John heard himself saying, like he was listening to someone else talking. Great time to dissociate, great time to... you. Rose's voice was faint, distant.
Why do you look like that? Where am I? When am I?
She blinked her eyes and collapsed onto the floor.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Janiya Riley. The music is Cycles, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can also find other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.